From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, welcome back to the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. You're listening through voanews.id or our application RRI Play Go. And we from the Voice of Indonesia will be bringing you more information about Indonesia. Like the first one is the news, so stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Let's begin with the national news. Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly, MPR Bambang Susatyo, has asked the Health Ministry to promptly meet the requirements of COVID-19 vaccine in the regions to accelerate the nation's vaccination program. In a written statement received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Wednesday, said he has requested the Health Ministry to immediately meet vaccine needs in each region according to the referral from the regional government, because the acceleration of the vaccination program needs to be done together so that community immunity can be formed as soon as possible. He further said that his side made the request in response to reports of COVID-19 vaccination being hampered due to the depletions of vaccine stocks. Therefore, the Health Ministry has not been able to achieve the daily vaccination target. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin has urged Muslims to switch from fixed assets to movable assets, such as shares, securities, and Sharia deposit when making wakaf endowment. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Vice President Ma'ruf Amin at the Islamic Economic Business and Finance Conference organized virtually by the Nahdlatul Ulama Islamic University Central Jaffa on Wednesday, hopes that in the present era, wakaf assets can be in the form of movable assets such as shares, securities, Sharia deposit, and even funds stored in wakaf accounts. He noted wakaf of fixed assets such as land is indeed better known among most Muslims because land is easy to maintain and does not experience a reductions in value. Indonesia and Peru renegotiated a Memorandum of Understanding or MOU in the tourism sector in order to develop bilateral cooperation. This was affirmed by Ambassador of Peru to Indonesia, Francisco Guterres Figueroa, in an interview with the Voice of Indonesia on Wednesday.
Right now, Peru and Indonesia are negotiating a memorandum of understanding in order to promote our respective main cultural heritage, namely Machu Picchu for Peru and Borobudur for Indonesia. So this MOU is expected to improve not only tourism, but also education and improve a better understanding of our history for both visitors coming from Peru or Indonesia.
Besides tourism cooperation, Ambassador Figueroa also added that Peru would like to increase other sectors and obtain a commercial trade volume target agreed with Indonesia in 2015 worth $1 billion by 2025.
As I mentioned, our main objective now is to improve the commercial trade between Peru and Indonesia. For example, in 2015, the government of both Peru and Indonesia set a priority goal of reaching a trade volume of $1 billion by 2025. I directed toward this objective. But also we want to go beyond the traditional topics, you know, the commercial area, the economic sectors. In other areas, for example, we have various mutual efforts in the diplomatic relation, political issues, legal aspects, bilateral dialogues, and defense area. Especially this area, defense, we intend to improve our relations because the military industry in Indonesia has been developing in a fast way.
In commemorating the 200th Independence Day of Peru on July 28, 2021, Ambassador Peru Figueroa, along with his staff, held a virtual event at the National Monument Monas by applying strict health protocols. Minister of Home Affairs Tito Karnavian has asked the government of Indramayu District in West Java Province to implement a strategy to accelerate COVID-19 vaccination, escorted by Antaranus Agency, while visiting the Indramayu District Heads Hall on Wednesday. Minister Tito urged to accelerate vaccinations and prepare scenarios so when vaccines have been received, vaccination can be executed quickly. He also cited a report form to Indramayu District Government, which has shown that vaccination coverage in the district is still low. He pointed out that the government's COVID-19 vaccination program is targeting 2/3 of the population of Indramayu District, which is pegged at around 1.8 million. However, currently only 11% of the targeted population has been vaccinated. Investment in Indonesia's industrial sector rose by 29% to 167.1 trillion rupiah in the first half of 2021, from 129.6 trillion rupiah in the year-ago period. It was said by Minister of Industry Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita in a written statement received by Antaranus Agency on Wednesday. He said that in the first 6 months of 2021, the industrial sector accounted for 37.7% of the total investment, which was pegged at 442.8 trillion rupiah. Two sectors accounted for most of the investment: the base metal goods, non-machinery goods, and spare parts industry, which accounted for 57.6 trillion rupiah or 13% of the investment, and the food industry, which accounted for 36.6 trillion rupiah or 8.3% of the investment. Let's move on to the international news. China's new ambassador to Washington, Xin Gang, on Wednesday wished the United States victory against COVID-19 and said great potentials awaited bilateral relations, striking an optimistic tone as he arrived at his new post amid deeply strained ties. As reported by Reuters.com, Xin's arrival comes days after high-level talks in the northern Chinese city of Tianjin between U.S. Deputy Secretary of State Wendy Sherman and senior Chinese diplomats ended with both sides signaling that the other must make concessions for ties to improve. Xin, a 55-year-old vice foreign minister whose recent post portfolio have included European Affairs and Protocol, is replacing China's longest-serving ambassador to the United States, Chu Tianchai, a 68 years old, who last month announced his departure after 8 years in Washington. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison said vaccination alone would not bring an end to a COVID-19 lockdown in Sydney, as residents of the country's largest city face another month under tough curbs to stamp out an outbreak of the Delta variant. As reported by Reuters.com, Prime Minister Scott Morrison explained that this means it can certainly help the low rates of vaccination the country has had their need to lift, and that will certainly help the efforts with the lockdown, but on its own, it won't stop the lockdown. Morrison hoped the extended lockdown and tougher curbs on movement enforced in the worst affected regions of Sydney could contain the incredibly virulent Delta variant. With only about 17% of the people above 16 years fully vaccinated in New South Wales state, which Sydney is the capital of, infection have steadily risen despite Greater Sydney being in a lockdown since June 26. That was the news.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Tetap setia, tetap sedia. majulah menang.
Cooperatives in general have given a positive contribution to Indonesian economy. Based on Cooperatives and MSMEs Ministry's data, as per December 2020, some 127,124 active cooperative units in Indonesia has contributed 5.2% of the GDP and absorbed 0.45% of the total national workforce. In Indonesia's 5-year economic development plan, the government targets 5.5% national GDP contribution from the cooperatives and 500 modern cooperative units development by the end of 2024. COVID-19 pandemic becomes a great challenge to achieve the 5.5% GDP contribution target. Cooperative and MSMEs Minister Teten Mastuki said some 1,785 units of cooperatives were affected by the pandemic. The minister further mentioned the main issues faced by the cooperatives during the pandemic are capital, around 47%, sales decline, around 35%, and production decline, about 8%. With those issues, cooperative must therefore be creative to make more sales online amid the pandemic. Also, cooperative can stay productive and achieve the GDP contribution target. Indonesian government, as stated by the Coordinating Minister for Economy Airlangga Hartarto on Wednesday, is encouraging cooperative modernization to improve their quality in order to stay productive and be able to compete offline and online. With a good cooperative governance, cooperatives will be able to improve their competitiveness values because of being adaptive towards changes in marketing and technology. The government also needs to involve the millennials since they are very familiar with technology. This will help in accelerating the modern cooperative growth, which are ready to compete nationally and internationally.
Voice of Indonesia present again the Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2021. Win interesting prizes from the Voice of Indonesia. For more info, please visit our website voinews.id.
Listener, today in history starts with the event on July 29, 1947, the first air attack of Indonesian Air Force against the Dutch headquarters. The Indonesian National Army Air Force launched its first air attack in the Revolutionary War of Independence on July 29, 1947 at around 5 a.m. The target was to destroy the Dutch Army headquarters in Semarang, Salatiga, and Ambarawa. The air attack was intended to show the existence of the Indonesian Air Force in the eyes of the international community. Exactly, Radio Singapore broadcast the attack as headline news. Until now, July 29th is commemorated as the Air Force Service Day. Next event was in 1958, the establishment of U.S. National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA. President of the United States Dwight Eisenhower on July 29, 1958, inaugurated the establishment of a non-military agency, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, as the Agency for Aviation and Space. NASA is the independent agency responsible for the civil space program. as well as aeronautical and space research. NASA was also formed as a peace program in space science. The agency was officially operational on October 1, 1958. The last event of July 29th was in 2010, when World Tiger Day was initiated. World Tiger Day is an annual commemoration to raise awareness of tiger conservation efforts. Commemorated every July 29th, World Tiger Day was first conceived at the St. Petersburg Tiger Summit in Russia in 2010. The purpose of this commemoration is to promote a global system and to protect tigers' natural habitat and to raise public awareness of tiger conservation issues. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Aku salah tingkah, aku tak tahu.
are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, on voanews.id or application RRI Play Go. The next one will be by Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Executive Director of the Asian Center for Biodiversity ACB, Dr. Teresa Mundita Eslim, said that the rich and diverse mangrove in Asia protects the people from climate change impact as well as supports their livelihood. That was affirmed by Lim in a press statement of ACB for World Mangrove Day commemoration received on Monday. Lim also said that Asia houses 42% of the world's mangrove forests with an estimated 42,914 square kilometers in 2020. Based on Asian Clearinghouse Mechanism data, at least 47 of 70 known mangrove species in the world can be found in Southeast Asia. She added that it is important to record how crucial the ecosystem is supporting interconnectivities of biodiversity's key areas. She further remarked that aside from connecting the land and the sea, mangroves receive nutrients and organic substance from terrestrials, estuary, and marine ecosystem. The nutrient-rich ecosystem becomes a habitat of land, fauna, and a breeding area for fish, clams, migrating birds, and turtles. Lim also said that the benefits from the mangrove ecosystem expands to the nearest ecosystem, such as fishery. By functioning as a nursery habitat, mangrove enables main marine species to breed before migrating to other places as they get mature. Lim added that Asia has experienced more than 26% decrease in mangrove areas since 1980 until 2025, most of it caused by human activities such as logging and land use charge. The first move to overcome the losing mangrove forests is respecting and giving the true value of the ecosystem. Lim was happy that biodiversity and nature-based solution became the main agenda of Asian member countries. In August 2021, ACB, along with Asian Secretariat, will officially launch the Asian Green Initiative. This aims to plant and grow 10 million real trees in all areas for 10 years.
Voice of Indonesia present again the Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2021. Win interesting prizes from the Voice of Indonesia. For more info, please visit our website voanews.id.
Wujud apresiasi kami kepada dokter, jururawat, relawan, TNI, Polri, dan semua pejuang kemanusiaan di garda terdepan yang menghadapi pandemi COVID-19. Kalian adalah pahlawan sejati.
Jaga titiara.
Well, listener, more information about Indonesia is coming up shortly. For example, it is an information about Indonesian tourism or maybe the local wisdom of Indonesian people. Next, Indonesian Wonder.
Porridge, a food with a slightly sticky and thick characteristic, is made of various ingredients, such as rice, green beans, or glutinous rice flour. The taste, of course, varies. Some are savory or sweet, depending on the ingredients. However, in Singkawang City, West Kalimantan, you will find a type of porridge that is not like porridge in general, namely, gunting porridge. This porridge consists of chunks of chakwe served in a small bowl and doughs with thick gravy filled with green beans. Chakwe itself is made from glutinous rice flour, salt, waiting water, and suji leaf water. All these ingredients are mixed well until it becomes dough, which is then shaped into a long round. Porridge is hereditary food from residents of Chinese descent in Singkawang. Its name is also often called Liuk De Sun, which means green bean porridge tastes like diamond. It was named Bubur Gunting or because one of the main ingredients, chakwe, was long, so traders usually cut it with scissors. Gunting porridge sauce comes from soaked soybean or green beans whose skin has been peeled, mixed with starch, pandan leaf water, and sugar. After processing, the gravy becomes thick and clear. When served, the chakwe is usually cut into small pieces with scissor. Warm gunting porridge is very delicious to eat. The taste is so sweet. During Ramadan, this porridge will be very easy to find because the people of Banjar almost enjoy it every day as a meal for breaking the fast. To taste it, it is not difficult to find gunting porridge in Singkawang because there are many gunting porridge sellers who sells it with carts all over Singkawang City. However, because it is usually enjoyed for breakfast, porridge traders only sell it in the morning. The price is very cheap, around 5,000 rupiah to 10,000 rupiah per serving.
Mau
Well then, listener, the next one will be an information about Indonesia. Well, mostly it's about innovation. The next one is miscellany.
Listeners, all health facilities are still used to well treat COVID-19 patients. Based on https://covid19.go.id/19, the number of patients with confirmed cases of COVID-19 reached 2,527,203 per July 11, 2021. The availability of tools such as a ventilator breathing becomes very important in helping to handle the number of critical patients of COVID-19 increasing in every health facility. Therefore, research from the Research Center for Electronics and Telecommunications, Indonesian Institute of Science, Eko Joni Pristianto and his team are developing a ventilator named Sivenicia, or Smart Innovative Ventilator Indonesia, with two operating modes, CPAP and BIPAP. CPIP, or Continuous Positive Airway Pressure mode, is ventilators that produce a level of positive air pressure that is constant and continuously given to the patient with the aim of keeping the patient's respiratory tract open. While the BIPAP, or B-level positive airway pressure mode, is a ventilator that can produce two different levels of positive air pressure, namely when inhaling or inspiration and when exhaling or expiration, making it more comfortable for a patient to use because it will follow breathing rhythm while maintaining the required inexpiratory pressure, or PEEP, or positive inexpiratory pressure. Researchers Eko Joni explained that the CPAP and BIPAP ventilators are usually recommended by doctors for patients with sleep apnea or serious sleep disorder, which is a symptom where the patient's respiratory system stops for a while during sleep. This, of course, will result in a bad quality of sleep of the patient. The CPAP or BIPAP ventilator mode is a pressure-based ventilator mode which aims to prevent airway obstruction such as the symptoms experienced by many COVID-19 sufferers and to train the respiratory muscles before the patient can breathe normally. According to Eko, CPAP and BIPAP are classified as the most effective non-invasive treatment systems or without surgery and are the first most widely used options for patients with respiratory problems. Also explained that the purpose of using this ventilator is to keep the patient's respiratory tract open while the basic difference between the CPIP and BIPAP modes is comfort when the patient breathes. In CPIP mode, the ventilator will work by providing a continuous or constant flow of positive pressure air through the tube, to the nose, or through the mouth. This can cause fatigue or uncomfortability for the patients, especially during the exhalation process. The patient must use more force to resist the pressure. This problem will be very disturbing, especially for certain patients who have neuromuscular disease or an extensive group of disorders characterized by motor changes produced by injury or nerve disorders. Meanwhile, for BIPAP mode, this type of ventilator will provide different pressures when the patient breathes or inspiration, and when the patient exhales or expiration, so that they will be more comfortable in breathing while maintaining the required positive and expiratory pressure. Because this ventilator is a medical device that functions as a breathing tool, the use of this ventilator mode must be with the advice, instruction, and supervision of a doctor. See, Venetia has gone through the testing pass. Next, Ecojoni Pristianto and his team will conduct a C-Venetia clinical trial as the further step to obtain a distribution permit as a form of dissemination of their research results. That's miscellany.
Yeah.
Voice of Indonesia present again the Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2021. Win interesting prizes from the Voice of Indonesia. For more info, please visit our website voinews.id.
We have been giving you so many information and also so many songs from Indonesia. The next one will be a song, but there's a little bit information about it. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia. Today I'm going to present to you a song by Chandra Darusman. Chandra Nazaruddin Darusman is widely known as a musician, pianist, and songwriter. One of his famous songs as solo singer is entitled Cow. The song is included in the album Indahnya Sepi, which was released in 1981. The song is included in the list of the 150 best Indonesian songs compiled by Rolling Stone's Indonesia magazine, which contains the best Indonesian songs of all time. Cow was brought back by Chameleon, a music group that was quite popular in the 90s. Listener, here is Cow by Chandra Darusman.
Gairahku, hasratku menggapai harapan bersama. Oh, penyesalan kini tiada arti lagi. Ku sadari semua yang terjadi. Maafkan diriku yang tak mungkin akan. Titianku bersama kasihku tertuju bersatu. Derap langkah bersama alunan irama seia sekata. Oh, mengapa terjadi pertemuan dengan seorang yang sonaku di kala diri ini tak terpadu janji. Tak mungkin kan ku ingkari apa daya ku menghadapi kenyataan. Sekata. Oh, mengapa terjadi pertemuan dengan seorang yang mempesonaku di kala diri ini telah terpadu.
Thank you very much for you who have been joining us in the English service from Voice of Indonesia. We are expecting any opinion from you, so feel free to send it to our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, @voiindonesia, and also you can send it to our email, voi@voinews.id. We hope that your opinion will help us to bring you better information about Indonesia. Well, the listener, make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.